Okay, today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Ayin Beis. We've got some catching up to do. We left off in daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, but we didn't get too far down yesterday. At the very end, we quoted two brises, or a brisa that had two cases that seemed to be very much consistent with each other. But the Gemara is going to be bothered by one of the cases and not by the other, because if we think about the underlying principles of the cases, we're going to see that one of them is very troubling. And again, just to review, the brisa had said that if a Jew lends money to a guy with ribbis. So we said as follows, that let's pick case number one first. A Jew borrows money from a guy with ribbis, and he's ready to return the money to the guy with the ribbis money. And then Jew B comes along, Jew number two comes along, and says, you know what, give me the money, and whatever ribbis charges you incur, I'll take care of, and I'll pay to the guy. So that's going to be usur, because it's considered as if Jew number one and Jew number two are making a deal with each other that involves ribbis. However, we said that if the Jew number one goes to the Nachri and he says, look, I'd like to pay you back, but Jew number two wants to take the money instead and pay you whatever interest payments are going to be due, and the Nachri says, yes, good, go ahead and do that, give it to him, then it's going to be mutter. Because then the deal is not between Jew number one and Jew number two, the deal is between the Nachri and Jew number two. And therefore that's going to be mutter. That was one case. But then the Braisa quoted another case. A Nachri that borrows money from a Jew with ribbis. And again, the Nachri is ready to return the money to the Jew. He's more than happy to give it back, and he has the money with the ribbis that he's ready to give to the Jew. And then Jew number two comes along and he says to the Nachri, give me the money and I'll take care of whatever ribbis payments are going to come up, and I'll pay it back to the Jew. Just give me the money that you're going to pay back to Jew number one, and I'll pay back that money plus whatever other ribbis, because I keep it longer, that is going to be due to Jew number one. I'll take care of it. So we said that that's going to be mutter. Why? Because the deal is not between Jew number one and Jew number two. The deal is between the Nachri and Jew number two, the Nachri who borrowed, and Jew number two who wants to borrow. But we said that if the Nachri goes back to Jew number one and says, look, I'm ready to pay back, but this guy wants the money, and they're Mamid Eitzel Yisrael, and the first Jew says, that's fine, go and give him the money, and that's fine, and I'll deal with him. So then it's going to be asur, because then we assume that the dealing is between Jew number one and Jew number two, and it's a regular ribbis deal. And that's what Rashi said, in Memidu Eitzel Yisrael Asur, the Afal Pishe Kiblam Zem Miyad Nachri, even though Jew number two actually took the money, got the money from a guy, Mishum, still it's going to be Asur, Mishum de Nachri, Shaliach Shal Yisrael. Because the Nachri is considered to be the Shaliach of the Jew, Ushlucha Shal Adam Kamoso. And we say Shlucha Shal Adam Kamoso, and therefore he's going to be the Shaliach of the Jew, and that's why it's going to be Asur. It's considered as if the deal is between Jew number one and Jew number two. So says the Gemara. Now we've had two cases. The first case where the Nachri was the lender, Jew number one was the borrower, and Jew number two wants the money. The safest case was where the Nachri was the borrower, Jew number one was the lender, Nachri was the borrower, and again Jew number two wants the money. So says the Gemara, Bishlam a Seifa l'chumra. I understand very well why you're going to tell me that in the case of the Seifa, that we're going to assume the guy becomes the Shaliach of Jew number one, because we assume a guy has the ability to become a shliach l'chumra, meaning technically speaking on a daraisa level, we're going to assume that a guy cannot make a shliach, nor can he become a shliach. But that's midaraisa. But l'chumra, we're going to allow a guy to be included in the parsha of shlichus, both in terms of making a shliach and in terms of becoming a shliach. So bishlam a seifa l'chumra. I understand very well the seifa is l'chumra. It's telling me that the guy has the ability to become a shliach l'chumra. El a reisha, but in the case of the reisha, again, where it was a Jew that borrowed money from a guy, kivan de ein shlichus l'nachri, if a guy is not included in the parsha of shlichus, Iuniu de kashakal mine rabisa. So wait a second, how can we say that it's going to be mutter when it was a Jew who borrowed money from the guy, and the guy says, good, go ahead, give it to Jew number two. Why is that okay? Even if the guy is making Jew number one his shaliach to give the money to Jew number two, the guy cannot make a shliach midaraisa. And the ability of a guy to make a shliach is only l'chumra. But over here we're going to rely on it l'kula. We're going to say that the non-Jewish lender can make Jew number one his shliach to lend the money to Jew number two, and that's going to be mutter, that's not going to be a ribbis problem, if the guy does not have the ability to make a shliach. Iu niu de kashak l'minei ribisa. It's Jew number two taking money from Jew number one with ribbis on a daraisa level. So why is this permitted? So the Gemara is going to have five answers to this question. Answer number one, Amar Rav Huna bar Manoach mishpeid Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ika, hacha b'mayaskinon kigon da'amar lei hanicham al gabei karka v'yipater. It's not where the guy said, just give the money to Jew number two. The guy says to Jew number one, put the money down and you're done. That's ki'ilu, you paid it back already. And then he says, by the way, Jew number two, you can go take the money now. So that's what he did. So the second Jew took it from the karka, did not take it from the first Jew. And therefore, there is no ribbis deal midaraisa between Jew number one and Jew number two. Frek the Gemara, yeah, that definitely answers the question. The problem is, ihachi ma'lameimra, it answers it a little bit too well. Because if that's the case, what's the big chiddush? So answers the Gemara, Ella, second answer, Amar Rav Papa Gosh, natal v'nasan biyad. Now the case is that he was natal v'nasan biyad, meaning that the Jew number one gave it back to the Nachri, and the Nachri himself gave it to the second Jew. So says the Gemara, well, that's really great then. Vakati ma'lameimra. But then really, still, what's the chiddush? Then obviously it's going to be mutter, because then obviously the deal is clearly not between Jew number one and Jew number two, but clearly between the Nachri and Jew number two. So there's no chiddush whatsoever. So says the Gemara, Nachri gufeki avaradai to Yisrael kagamar v'yahiv. It is a chiddush, because I might have thought that when the guy goes and gives the money to Jew number two, he's doing it only because of the suggestion of Jew number one, and therefore it's ki'ilu he's the shaliach of Jew number one, and we should say yesh lichus l'chumra, and therefore it should be a ribbis problem. Kamash Malan therefore comes and tells me that no, since the lender was the guy is the one who's really in charge over here, it's his money, we don't assume he's lending it to Jew number two only because of what Jew number one suggested. We assume he's lending it to Jew number two because he wants to lend it to Jew number two. It has nothing to do with him carrying out the shlichus of Jew number one. Now, says the Gemara, third answer. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says a wild chiddush. Ki amrino nein shlichus l'nachri. You know when we say that a guy does not have the ability to make or become a shliach? That's hani mili b'truma. That's only when it comes to truma. Av b'kala terakula, yeh shlichus l'nachri. But throughout the rest of kala terakula and all other areas of halacha, we assume a guy does have the ability to make or become a shliach. Says the Gemara, that's a very nice answer, meaning we're suggesting that the reason we're makil by the guy becoming a shliach, meaning the reason why we're makil in the case of the resha, again, where the guy was the lender, and we assume that he has the ability to make the we assume that it's going to be mutter if he's the one that decides to give the money to Jew number two when he makes the Yisrael his shliach. That's going to be mutter. That's because he does have the ability on a daraisa level to carry out shlichus. The only place that a guy does not have the ability to carry out shlichus is by truma. It's dafka din in truma. And says the Gemara, that's an interesting suggestion, but v'had Ravashi barusehi, that's really an unacceptable suggestion. Because after all, maishna truma delo tichsiv atem, why is it by truma a guy cannot be or make a shliach? Because the pasuk says atem gam atem, and we darshin ma atem b'nei bris, av shluchachem nami b'nei bris. The very concept of shlichus is derived from truma, and we have a drasha that just like atem b'nei bris, just like when you yourself are mafresh truma, you yourself are a Jew, Avshul Chacham, so too, we know you can make a shliach to be mafrit shuma, but the shliach also has to be like you. He has to be b'nei bris. He has to be a Jew. So shlichus kala Torah kula nami mitshuma gamrinin la. Well, shlichus in all of Torah is derived from truma. So if the rule by truma is that a goy cannot become a shliach or make a shliach, then the rule should be the same in kala Torah kula, that the goy cannot become a shliach. Why would we possibly distinguish? Why would we possibly differentiate between Shuma and the rest of Kala Torah Kula? So the Arsameach suggests maybe a reason why we would differentiate. The Arsameach writes that Rav Ashi meant to say that the truth is not dafka truma. It's not that it's only by truma that a guy can that a guy cannot be a shliach, but rather that a guy cannot be a shliach when it comes to religious matters, when it comes to issues of dasu mitzvos, when it comes to issues that relate to spiritual, religious, sacramental type of issues. Because the guy is not a bar mitzvah. He's not included in any of the mitzvahs, and therefore he's not going to be able to be a shliach in those issues. But when it comes to masa umata, and it comes to business, comes to monetary matters, so I would say, look, they certainly are included in kinyanim and dinim. Goyim certainly are included in dinim amunis. So maybe that's what Rav Ashi means, that a goy can become a shliach dafka in dine mamunis, in things where he has a stake, where he's included in that area of halacha. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that that maybe the idea of shlichus not applying to a guy is dafka when it comes to mitzvahs. It doesn't mean to say dafka truma, it means truma and its ilk. Truma and things like truma that are totally religious in nature, but things that are that relate to dinim amunus, maybe that a guy does have a shlichus for. And then the Gemara says, no, that's not good. It's still barusahi. Why is it barusahi? Why is that unacceptable? Because the very concept of shlichus by dinim amunus and by everything is only derived from truma. So says the Gemara, el deravashi barusahi. It has to be that that's unacceptable. Says the Gemara now, a fourth answer, a fourth possible suggestion of how to understand this. When do we say that there's no shlichus for a guy? That's if the guy tries to make us a shliach. But us to make them a shliach, that's absolutely fine. And that counts as real good shlichus when a Jew makes a guy a shliach. And the Gemara says, you know what? Rav Ashi is unacceptable. Even that version of Rav Ashi is unacceptable. Because Maishna in hu l'didon d'lo, why is it that they cannot make us a shliach? D'chsiv atem gam atem l'rabu shluchachem. Because again, we darshan it from the pasuk by Truma that a shliach is included, and ma atem b'nei bris av shluchachem b'nei bris. Just like when we do it ourselves, we are Jews, so too the shliach also has to be b'nei bris. And non lidit hunami, but the same should apply in the reverse. If we want to make the goy a shliach, ma atem b'nei bris, we should say the same drasha, ma atem b'nei bris kamar, that just like we are b'nei bris, sa ella had ravashi brusahi, so we have to say that ravashi is unacceptable, that ravashi is beyond the pale. So we are now up to the fifth answer, the bottom three lines from the bottom of the Defayin Aleph and Beis, fifth explanation of what's going on in that brisa, why it is that we assume that the guy has the ability to make shlichus even lekula. So says Mar Ravina Amar, it's not shlichus. He says, no, nehidu shlichus l'nachri leslei. Granted, a guy does not have the ability to be included in shlichus, but tzuchia, and our girsa is midrabanan islei. But zuchia he does have, and the girsa we have is zuchia midrabanan, that the ability to be zocha on his behalf, midrabanan, that does work. Says Rashi, she Yisrael zocha letzorach nachri. For Yisrael to be zocha on behalf of the nachri, hilkacha hu Yisrael zocha lemidrabanan balva zu mi Yisrael sheni. So that's exactly what's going on in the Brisa, that the first Yisrael is being zocha midrabanan for on behalf of the guy by giving to the Yisrael sheni, by giving the money to the second Yisrael. So that's what's going on. It's a din of zechiah. It's not a din of shlichus. And where do we ever find such a concept? Someone who's unable to make a shliach, but still unable to become a shliach, to make a shliach, but still he's going to be included in zechiah, that you can be zocha something for him. After all, isn't zechiah mitam shlichus? Where do we have such a concept? So says Gemara, very simple. Midah avi akatan. We have it when it comes to a katan. Katan lav afal gav de lesle shlichus isle zechia midrabanan. A katan, even though he's not included in shlichus, but zechia midrabanan he is included in. Sachanami loshna. So here as well, when it comes to a guy, it should be the same thing, that even though he's not included in shlichus, but zechia he does have. And then the Gemara says, you know what? It's a bad comparison. Just because a katan has zechia, even though he does not have shlichus, does not mean a guy should also have zechia. Velohi Yisrael asi lechal shlichus, akum lo asi lechal shlichus. A katan maybe has zechia midrabanan because one day he will be included in the parsha of shlichus. A guy is never going to be included in the parsha of shlichus. So maybe the rabbanan did not institute a concept of zechia for him, for the guy, because he's never going to be included in the parsha of shlichus. Now this girsa of midrabanan is subject to a major machlokas rishonim. When we say that zechia, that the katan has zechia, is it zechia only midrabanan or even midaraisa? The problem with saying that it's only zechia midrabanan is the sugi in ksubas tafir aleph, which is the sugi of ger katan. We discussed in Shavuos, if a person becomes a ger when he's a child, Beis Din wants to convert a ger, so how can he be mekabel anything? He doesn't have any das. So the Gemara says that it's a zachum ladam shlo b'fanav, that you're allowed, it's a zechus for him to become a Jew, so through the act of zechia, we allow him to become a Jew. Now wait a second, if the whole idea of zechia for a katan is only midrabanan, so shouldn't that only make him a Jew midrabanan? How can that be? You're going to make someone a ger midrabanan, that midaraisa is gerus is possible, but his gerus is okay midrabanan. That's very strange to have such a thing, that a person should only be a ger midrabanan. So that's why several rishonim say no. The girsa should not be zechia midrabanan islay, it should be zechia islay. That he has real full-fledged zechia, that it's not only zechia midrabanan. This is a discussion Rishonim over here as well. Rishonim are interested over here in terms of our case. What did we say? That the case was that a Jew borrows money from a guy with ribbis, and the guy says it's okay for you to give it to Jew number two, right? And on my behalf, to continue the ribbis deal. So we said that because the guy has the ability to make the shliach, or in this case, to be the Jew number one, has the ability to be zoche for the guy, so therefore he can continue the ribbis deal. But if that zechiah is only midrabanan, then midaraisa, this is real ribbis. Isn't this real ribbis daraisa then? On a daraisa level, if we don't have any dinim darabanan over here, then l'chora, we have a real situation of ribbis. So that's in fact Ramban's kasha. So the Ramban explains that since he paid the money to the guy, meaning the money's going to get paid to the guy, and the guy is the one that's, end of the day, going to be benefiting from this ribbis, so even though on a daraisa level it seems that it's a deal between two Jews, it's not ribbis daraisa, because ribbis daraisa would be where the Jew is the one that's making the money. Over here, it's the guy that's making the money. So mele, it's not a case of ribbis daraisa, and therefore we can follow the din of zechia midrabanan to get around the problem of the ribbis, which is really only ribbis midrabanan. The Rashba's mitarets that any davar shebamamon is tali in hefker beis and hefker is all up to beis and to determine what's what. And therefore, even if Enochinami, it sounds like it would be ribbis daraisa, and it's only zechia midrabanan is getting around it, that's fine, because hefker beis and hefker when it comes to money, and therefore they can get around any ribbis problem just by employing hefker beis and hefker. There is a discussion in the Achronim, though, can a guy make another guy a shaliach? Right, we've been discussing, can a guy make a Jewish shliach? So the answer is that only l'chumra, a guy can make a Jewish shliach, or a Jew can be zocha for a guy. But real shlichus can't work. What about a guy to make another guy a shliach? Does that work? So of all places where this is quoted is in the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Pesach. Right? Why in Hilchas Pesach? Because where do we have a guy very prominently involved in Hilchas Pesach? When we sell our chametz to a guy. So the Magen Avraham says, what if the guy can't make it that day, the guy that you sell the chametz to, and you already have all the shtaros written up with his name in it? So it's not like you could just pick another guy and use, because it would involve too much work. It's too much of a hassle. You've had you're a rabbi and you've had 100 people tell you, make you a shliach to sell to this guy, because you have a hakpada like we have in our shtaros where it actually says the name of the guy. Whatever. So yeah, you're the shliach to sell to this guy. So how are you gonna sell to that guy? He's not gonna be able to make it. Can that guy make a shliach, send another guy in his place to buy the chametz for him? right? So that's the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach quotes Masas Binyamin that it's Dafka mi Yisrael la Akum or mi Akum li Yisrael that there's no Shlichos, but Akum la Akum. Osa shliach, that you can make such a shliach when it's non-Jew to non-Jew. Magen Avraham himself doesn't like it. He asks on that Masas Binyamin from Yerushalmi, and he says we absolutely cannot be makel on something like this. That there's no way we can be makel on something like this. Just in terms of the katan, so we said that a katan can not make a shliach, but there is a concept of zechiah for a katan. And we said that's how ger katan works. That's how gerus of a katan works. That's a question. If gerus of a katan has only been did in zechiah, so the poskim have a major debate we discussed on Shavuos. What if you have a katan who's not going to be raised in a frum home? So we say, why is a katan allowed to be a ger, even though he doesn't have das? Is because it's a zechus for him. It's a great benefit for him to be a Jew. I mean, think about it. Before he was a guy, he's only chayv in seven mitzvos. Now he's going to be chayv in taryag mitzvos. What a benefit for him. He's going to be able to serve the Ribbono Shel on such a higher level. So it's a great benefit for him to be a Jew, so you can be zocha for him. What if you know he's not going to be raised to observe taryag mitzvos? He's going to be raised in a way where he's Michal Shabbos, and he's going to be Ochel Neveil Sitrefos. He's going to be raised in a non-religious home. So if he's born a Jew, okay, he's a Jew. There's nothing you can do about it. So he's Chayv Mitzvos, Nebuch, he's a Tinuk Shenishpei, wasn't raised properly. So it's not his fault. But over here you have someone who you can control whether he's going to be Chayv in all those Mitzvos that he's going to be violating or not Chayv. So you're going to say it's a zuchus for him to become a Jew and then violate all those Mitzvos. That's a major machlokas in the poskim. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, yes, it's a zuchus for him to become a Jew. It's still a zuchus for him to become a Jew. Why is it a zuchus for him to become a Jew? He says, first of all, with, you know, the Kiruv movement and everything else, you never know. You never know when he's going to become from one day. So it could be that that one day it's all going to be worth it because he's going to observe mitzvos. And he says, and even if not, he's going to be raised not to observe the mitzvos, so it's not really his fault. He's like a tinuk shenishba. So whatever averos he does is really ba'ones. It's really not really his fault. So how serious is the punishment going to be? But think about the mitzvahs he's going to do. Every time he gives tzedakah, every time he helps an old lady cross the street, every little mitzvah that he does, he's now doing as a mitzvah v'yoseh. He's now doing as a Jew, which is such a higher level of the kiyuma mitzvah. So it's much better for him to be a Jew, regardless of whether he's going to be religious or not. That's a major discussion in the poskim. A lot of the poskim strongly, vehemently disagree with that svara, and they say, no, that it's better for him, if he's not going to be religious, better for him to be a guy. It's not as zuchus for him to be a Jew. But anyway, Rashi says that a katan is not involved in shlichus. He only has zuchiyah because the pasuk says, when the pasuk talks about shlichus by truma, it's dafka talking about a gadol who's truma so truma, right? A gadol has the ability to make something truma, katan does not. So therefore, it's dafka by a gadol, not by a katan, because of the pasuk that teaches us shlichus clearly doesn't relate to a katan. So the ketzos is bothered by that because he says la halacha, it's not true. La halacha mufl samach lish is truma so truma. If someone's close to being a gadol, the truma counts and hekdesh hekdesh etc. So the ketzos is also bothered because Rashi himself in Maseches Kiddushin Daf Mem Beis, Rashi himself writes that a katan cannot make a shliach because the ikur shlichus is written by a get, and get can only be given by a gadol. Nothing to do with truma. So Rashi himself is soser himself. So it's a difficulty with Shitas Rashi. Anyway, let's get moving in the Gemara. So we're three lines from the top. Ayin Beis Amanal. Tanur Rabbanan. Yisrael Shalav Amos Min Anachri Beribus. A Jew borrows money from a guy with interest. Vizak from Alav Bemilve. And then they say, you know what? The Jew borrowed $100 from the guy. Interest has accrued. He now owes him $120. Right? $100 of principal, $20 of interest. And then they say, forget labeling things as principal and interest. Now we'll just call it that you owe me $120, write a new shtar, it's $120, period. That's the loan, that's the amount that's owed. And then, v'niskayer, then the lender converts, se'im kodem sh'niskayer zakon alav b'milva, if before the conversion they already had turned it into one big lump sum rather than principal plus interest, they turned it into one lump sum of 120. So govas hakeren v'govas haribus. The guy who used to be a non-Jew who has since converted is allowed to collect all $120. But vim la'achar sh'niskayer zakon alav b'milva. But if he converts first and then he says, you know, the $100 of principal and $20 of interest, let's turn it into one lump sum of 120. That's what you owe me, as opposed to continually accruing interest. It's just one lump sum of 120 that you owe me. So goves hakeren ve'inu goves haribis. Then he's only allowed to collect the 100. He's not allowed to collect the extra 20. He's not allowed to collect the ribis, because at the time that he converted, that 20 was still labeled ribis. It was not part of the lump sum of the keren. It was still labeled ribis, so therefore he's not allowed to collect it. And the same on the opposite side. V'chei nakri shalav amos mi Yisrael beribis. If a guy borrows money from a Jew with ribis, v'zak from love b'milva, and they turn it into a loan, v'niskayer, and then the borrower converts, if it was turned into a loan before he converted, then you can collect all 120. But if they only turned it into a loan after he converted, then the lender, the Jewish lender, can only collect the keren, the original 100. He cannot collect the ribis, the extra money. Rabbi Yossi Amar Nachri Shalav Amos Mishol Beribis Bein Kach Bein Kach Goves Keren Goves Ribis. Rabbi Yossi says a guy who borrows money from a Jew with ribis, either way, is only going to be able to collect the keren. Is going to be able to collect both the keren and the ribis, meaning in the Rabbi Yossi says that when it's a Jew when it's a guy that borrowed the money from the Jew, when it's a non-Jewish borrower, it doesn't matter when he converted. Either way, the Jew is going to be able to collect the ribis. Why? Amrav Amrav Chis Amrav Huna Halach Rabbi Yossi Paskin like Rabbi Yossi, but Amrav my time is Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that? Why is it that when it's a Jew, it's a non-Jewish lender who converts, so then we care about when it was all turned into a milva, when we stopped labeling something as principal and something else as interest, and we turned it all into one lump sum. But when it's a non-Jewish borrower who converts, we don't care when it was turned into one lump sum. Either way, he's going to have to pay the whole thing. He's going to have to pay the ribis. Why should that be the case? So he says, very simple. Very interesting svara. He says, if there was a financial benefit to becoming a Jew, right, the person would have owed 120 had he not become a Jew, and now that he becomes a Jew, he only owes 100. If we were to give him a financial benefit to becoming a Jew, so then people will say, you know why he became a Jew? For the financial windfall. And so people are going to question his geirus, and the worst thing you could do to a geir is question the validity of his geirus, question whether he's actually a geir or not. So people are going to say bad things about his geirus. They're going to assume that it wasn't lishma, that he wasn't converting for the right reasons. He was just converting for the financial windfall, and therefore it sounds like a chumra to him. We're making him pay all the money. It's a kula to him. It's better for him because this way his geirus will be totally above board. No one will ask any questions. Tan Rabbanan, shtar shekasba ribis kontsinoso venu gova losa keren losa ribis. If you have a shtar that has ribis written into it, right? I lend money to another Jew and it has ribis in the shtar, so we make a knas that not only can I not collect the ribis, I can't even collect the principal on that shtar. Divra Meir, that's from Meir Shita. V'chamrom govas hakeren v'enu govas ribis. Let me say, come on. You can collect the principal. There's nothing wrong with the principal. The principal is mutter. You're allowed to lend money to somebody in order to get that money back. You just can't collect the ribis, because that's the usser part of the shtar. You have to compartmentalize the shtar, the mutter part and the usser part. So, b'maikam iflui, what are they arguing about? That's exactly what they're arguing about, whether you compartmentalize or whether you say, Rameir Savar Katsinin Hatera Mishumi Sura. Rameir says that we're going to make a knas that you're not even going to be able to collect the money that's mutter to you because of the money that's also to you that's involved. Rabban Savi Lo Katsinin Hatera Mishumi Sura. And the Rabban say, no, we're not going to make a knas on that money which is mutter to you just because of that which is also to you. Now, just in understanding the sheet of Rameir, right? Rameir said you're not allowed to collect anything. You're not allowed to collect the Karen or the Ribis. Says Tosos, top line of Tosos, Pirushivam, Dain Govami Mishabdi, Alvnechari Gavi. You can't collect the Keren from the Chasim Shubadim, from properties that have since been sold to other people. But to actually go and collect cash from a talpalin, to take nechasim b'nechar, or take money that the properties that the guy still has, so that you're allowed to do. It doesn't invalidate the loan, right? You're allowed to collect your principal. It's just that it doesn't have the koach of a milva b'ksav, a milva b'shtar. It doesn't have the koach that a normal shtar would have, where you'd be able to even have a lien on all of his properties that he has since sold since the time of the loan. That far we're not going to let you do. But even Rameir would say you're allowed to collect the keren, you just have to collect it from the metaltel mdechari, not from the nechasim mdechari, not from the nechasim mishubadim. And after all, Tosa says, why are you allowed to collect the principal? The edim in psulim, the edim on the shtar aren't pasul. There's nothing wrong with the Edim. Einam Edechama, Sein Ravichim Klum B'davar. The Edim aren't gaining anything by signing such a shtar. It's not like they're making money on the deal. So you can't say that these are Ganavim, that these Edim are Ganavim. So it's not going to ruin the entire shtar. So therefore, the shtar is valid in the sense that you're allowed to collect somewhat. You're just not allowed to collect from the Chasum Mishubadim. Then, if you look a little bit further, in Tosfos, about six lines in, to the skinny lines, Miu Nira, Drameir Kanis Lagamri, Vologavi Beklal. The Rivam had said that according to Rameir, you are allowed to collect, just not from Nechasim Shabbatim. But then Tosfos rejects that. He says, no, Rameir made an absolute knas. You're not allowed to collect at all. Like other types of possible shtaros that we're going to say soon, according to Rameir, cannot be used at all to collect with. That's within Rameir. What about within the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon held you're allowed to collect the keren. You're just not allowed to collect the ribbis. If you look in the second wide line of Tosos, says Tosos, so mashma lechora de gavi le Rabbanon b'shtar keren afilu mimishabdi. That the Rabbanon are going to say the keren that you're allowed to collect is even from nechasim mishubadim. Right? That you're even allowed to collect it from karka that has a lien on it. Says Tosfos the Tema, but wait a second, that's very strange. Meaning, shouldn't we say the Edim are pasul because they're in violation of Los Hasimun? Meaning, they're not allowed to sign as Edim on a shtar that has ribbis written in it. So shouldn't that automatically pasul the Edim? And if a pasul is the Edim, the shtar is pasul. And if the shtar is pasul, you should not be able to collect from the Chasim Shubadim. That's Tosfos Bam Kasha. Shouldn't the Edim be pasul? So says Tosfos a couple of answers. He says, first of all, a few lines further in Tosfos, Ayri Hachab Ribbis Rabbanan. We're dealing with a case where the ribbis is only ribbis drabanan, and therefore they're not going to be pasul on the daraisa level. Inami says, maybe we're talking about ribbis daraisa, but maybe people don't realize that when it says Los Hasimun, that you're not allowed to be involved in a ribbis case, even though we know that that means you're not even allowed to serve as a witness on a ribbis document, but maybe people don't realize that. Most people think when you ask, what's the issur of ribbis? People automatically will say, to borrow or lend money with ribbis. That's what they automatically assume. So if people don't realize that, it's not going to possibly aid them because they're pretty innocently doing it. They don't realize that it's an issur. Very similar to what we said earlier, Tosfos points out, of lo sachmod, that we said, lo sachmod l'inchi b'lo dami mashmalahu. People assume lo sachmod means, thou shalt not covet, means that I shouldn't covet something to the point where I pressure you to give it to me without paying you. People don't realize that even if I pressure you to sell me something, that's a violation of lo sachmod. I'm paying good money for it. What do you mean it's a violation of lo sachmod? Yeah, that's why people don't realize it, but it's still a violation of lo sachmod. Says Gemara Vayta, Tanan Hasam. We have Mishnah, Shtari Chov HaMukdamin, Psulin VaMukharin Ksherin. Predated Shtari Chov are Pasul, but postdated Shtari Chov are Kasher. Mukdamin and my Psulin, why are predated ones Pasul? Nihidul Gavim Isman Rishon, Nigvim Isman Sheni. Meaning, why should they be Pasul? Granted, you don't want to collect from the predated, from the date that's written in it, because after all, that's too early and that's unfair to the people who will purchase properties from the guy. But at least collect from the second date, from the date where the loan actually happened. Some Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish b'machlokesh nuyev Rameir. Now this is assuming like the sheet of Rameir that you're right. He should be able to collect from the second date. But since the shtar is not going to be good for, since we're kansinan heteru misha misura, right? So it's, we're going to make a knas that you're not even allowed to do what you think you're allowed to do because of the isser involved. Rabbi Yochanan rafil teim Rabbanan gzeir shemiyigva misman rishon. Rabbi Yochanan says no. We could even assume like the Rabbanan. We have a gzeir. Maybe you're going to collect from the first time. Hahu gavra demashkan le pardes lechavre. A guy gave as a security on a loan a pardes, an orchard, to his friend. Achlat flashni. So the lender enjoyed that orchard for 3 years because he still hadn't been paid back. Amalei, and then after 3 years of enjoying it, he says, hey, I have a great idea. He says to the borrower, imizavnasli ne'ali mutav, if you want to sell me this orchard, I like it so much, I'd really like to buy it. If you want to sell it to me, that's great. Ve'ilo kavishan lo l'shtar mashkanta v'amini l'kuchi b'yadi. And if you don't want to sell it to me, I'm going to hide the shtar that says that it was only security, and I'm going to claim that it was mine, that I bought it from you. And no one's going to be able to deny that claim because I've had it for 3 years already. And once you have it for 3 years, it's chazaka. So azul kam akni lebeno katan. So the borrower who did not want to sell this orchard and didn't want to be pressured into this came up with his own chaz. He went and he wrote a shtar matana to his child. Bno Katan, that this orchard is given to you as a matana. And then the next day, Vahadar Zavna Ne'alei. Then the next, so January 1st, it has a Shtar Matana to his child. Then January 2nd, he goes and he writes a Shtar Mecher to the person who's holding on to it for the past 3 years. So Zvini Vade Lavi Zvini. So the sale is obviously invalid. Why is it invalid? Because it didn't belong to him in January 2nd when he sold it. It already belonged to his child, to the Bno Katan. So the sale is obviously invalid. Zuzek, but what about the money that was paid for the sale? Right, the guy who was holding on to the security for 3 years paid for this karka now. What happens to that money? Do we say kemilva b'shtar dam of a government nechas mishubadim? Do we say that's like a milva b'shtar, and therefore the lender who paid that money is allowed to collect that money even from nechas mishubadim? Or dimla kemilva al peh dam of any government nechas mishubadim? Or maybe we say it as a din of milva al peh and it cannot be collected from nechas mishubadim. Amar Rabbi v'lav haynu de Rabbi Asi, isn't this exactly Rabbi Asi's din? Amar Rabbi Asi mod b'shtar shekas that if someone is moda, that he has written a shtar, you don't need to do kiyum shtaros. You don't have to do the kiyum shtaros, but you can be gova from the, and therefore you can be gova from the chasim shvadim if a guy was moda that he wrote a shtar. So too over here, Rashi says on the second line, vachanami hari moda shemachul avachrayus. He admits that he sold it to him with achrayus, and granted the shtar is batal legabe the mechira because it's because there was a shtar matana that had predated it. But the shtar should not be batel legabe the achrayus. The fact that I have achrayus for it, that's not batel. Samle Rava, mi dami, how can you compare the two cases? Hasam nitan li kasev. When a guy was moded that he wrote a shtar, it was a shtar that deserved to have been written. It was a real kosher, regular shtar. Hachalo nitan li kasev. Over here, this shtar never should have been written. Meaning, I was selling you property that didn't belong to me. That's a shtar that never should have been written. So don't tell me the shtar still has enough koach that it's considered to be nechasa mishubadim, you can collect from nechasa mishubadim. So Yasu Maremer, v'kamala hashmaita, Maremer was saying over this statement of Rava, Amalei Ravina l'Maremer, so Ravina said to Maremer, Elahadam Rabbi Yochanan, gzera shem yigva mizman rishon, neymel onitam likasev. So what about what we said by shtar mutam? We said that the reason why you can't collect from the later time is because a gzera, maybe you're going to come to collect from the earlier time. Why don't we say better? Say that a shtar muktam is possible because it's a shtar that never should have been written. And therefore, there's nothing to talk about. Forget gezeros. It's a shtar that never should have been written, and therefore the whole thing is completely invalid. Samalei hachi ashri. So no, that's a faulty comparison. Hasam mihid lo nitan lekasam mizman rishon, al nitan lekasam mizman sheni. Over there, it wasn't supposed to have been written from the earlier time, but it still is a shtar that could have been written and should have been written from the later time. It just shouldn't have been written from the earlier time. Hach lo nitan lekasam klal. But over here, selling a property that doesn't belong to you anymore, that's a shtar that really never, ever should have been written. Ella haditani l'shvach karkos ketzad. So what about the following brisa that we had that tells us there's a the ratio of the brisa says that you're not allowed to be motzi for the sake of achilas peros and shvach karkos from nechasa mishubadim. So the brisa explains itself. What does that mean? The shvach karkos ketzad. What does it mean that you're not allowed to be motzi from nechasa mishubadim for shvach karkos? So it means the following. Hareshagazel sodim echaveru machro liacher. If Reuven steals a field and then sells it to Shimon, v'shbicha, and then Shimon improves the field. Then the guy who Reuven stole the field from comes to Shimon and says, excuse me, that's my field. What are you doing? And he takes the field away. So now Shimon's going to collect money. He's going to collect money that the field was initially worth, plus all the improvements he's made in it, which he's also lost. When he collects the value of the field, that he can collect from Reuven's nechasim mishubadim, from even properties that Reuven has since sold. But the shevach, the improvements, he can only collect from nechasim b'nei chorin. Right? That's a tikkun olam issue that he's only allowed to collect from nechasim b'nei chorin for the shevach. Because people who buy stuff from Reuven, there's no way that they can be careful to make sure that whoever Reuven has cheated isn't making improvements on his field. I mean, they can do their research and find out how many liens there are on Reuven's properties, because then what Reuven's other business deals were, but they can't possibly follow what's been done with those fields since then. So they're not going to be responsible to pay for the shevach. So, but frankly, my name is Lonitan Likasev. Why don't you say it's Lonitan Likasev, and therefore the whole thing is invalid, and you shouldn't even be able to collect from the Karen from the Chasim Shubadim. So says the Gemara, now Hachi Hashto, it's a faulty comparison. Hasam Ilaman Yamar Nichale Delo Nikriya Kazlana, Ilaman Yamar Nichale Delekam Beyamnusei, Mefayisle Ilamara Mukam Lelishtare. Over there, Reuven is going to want either that he not be called a Gazlan, or to just develop a decently good reputation, even though he doesn't deserve it. So he's going to do whatever he can to pay back the original owner and honor the shtar. But over here, the whole point of the shtar is just to get him out of my face. I don't want to sell him my field. Right? What was the case we're talking about, where I gave the field as a matana to my son because I didn't want to be pressured into selling the field to this guy? So you can be mekayim the shtar. You think I care about being mekayim the shtar, about honoring that shtar that I sold the field to this guy? No, adirabah, I did whatever I can to not have to make that shtar possible, to make that shtar absolutely worthless. I was just trying to get away from the whole situation. Okay, we're very much behind, but God willing, tomorrow I'm going to start 6:15 sharp, and we will finish. We'll catch up as a show. Okay.